And away we go. It's a Getaway Friday, Friday, October the 18th, 2019. 10, 18, 19. 13 minutes past the hour on this Getaway Friday morning. Scott Spears along with you. And we've got a special guest in the studio for the duration today, but I do want to mention some things quickly here. Last night, overnight, we got a phone call at some point about our prize pickup. And our prize pickup is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. So if that was you and you called in, you have till 1 o'clock today. You can come in anytime from now until 1 o'clock. Just come into the studio. If nobody's at the front desk, we usually keep the studio door open. Just walk in. I have the prizes with me, and tell me your name, and we will check it off. We are informal that way here at WWGH Radio, and I know we have a few people on the prize list here. We haven't given away a whole lot of stuff in the last few days, but I know Patricia Franklin, Kyle, Tom Faust, Bill Ballinger did come in yesterday, and Harry Klein all have tickets to pick up. And they are here for you, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. today and every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And we have, maybe we'll give some stuff away today. We have Columbus Zoo. We have the Wilds. We have Huntsman Auto Oil Change. We have tickets to Sleepy Hollow down at Tecumseh. So maybe we'll get into that over the course of the day today. Also want to let everybody know, I know he has a devoted listener base. Charlie Evers will be back today. Heard from him yesterday. His problem's all cleared up. And Charlie will be back this morning, 10 a.m. to 12, and also on with me from 12 to 1 when we do the Exchange Club this afternoon. And one, oh, I know what, the other thing I wanted to mention, I wanted to give congrats to Glenn Coble, who is doing Swap Shop now, another good afternoon, about 10 calls, which is about where we thought we'd be during the second week of programming for the Swap Shop. For those of you who don't know, Swap Shop is essentially what Tradio was for so many years on WMRN. Now, currently, it's only on one day here, 12:15 to 1 p.m., but we do repeat it. So if you hear it any other time and you want to call about those items and they haven't been sold, I would, you know, implore you to do that. That certainly is a possibility. And we had a suggestion yesterday that we promote Swap Shop other times than just when it's on. So actually, it is on the news report today. And will be all weekend. So that's where you find Swap Shop. Now, today, for the first 2 hours, we are joined by a special guest co-host here, like they did on the old Mike Douglas show. Invite somebody in and just have some fun and talk about what's going on in the world. Former WMRN morning man for the better part of three decades and in radio there for 40 years. How about that? Jeff Ruth.
Mike Douglas.
Remember how Mike
came out of Philadelphia.
He started in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember how Mike would he'd have the celebrities on, but he would bring a guest co-host on like Yoko Ono for a week, and they would sit there with Mike and ask questions of the guest.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. That went on for a while.
I saw the movie The Joker.
I want to see that. Bad? I shouldn't see that.
I mean, Joaquin Phoenix, I'm not sure there was one frame in that movie he was not in. I mean, he was in that movie entirely. He's certainly, I mean, he's obviously going to be up for an Academy Award for that. I don't.
That good?
Oh, he was really, really good, yeah.
So it is a good movie.
Well, no, I didn't say that. I said he was good.
Okay, so the movie,
it's pretty dark.
Oh, okay.
And I don't do dark movies or those kind of movies very well. He was very, very good. But it's not one of those you walked out of the theater and said, boy, I'm really glad I saw that movie. And not to spoil it, but Robert De Niro plays the Mike Douglas, the Johnny Carson kind of host.
What is the movie is based on, is it the DC comic character, the Joker?
Yeah, and I never read the comics so much, but it took place, they never mentioned New York City, but they always talked about Gotham City, and kind of him growing up, he lived with his mother, and they didn't have much money, and he was picked on a lot, and he was a kind of a professional clown, and people made fun of him, and the guy that he worked with gave him a gun and said, here, you know, you need this for protection or whatever. Well, he was on a sub. I'm going to end up giving the whole movie
this
away.
This is going to play-by-play. You're like Siskel and Ebert.
But he's on a subway, and a couple of guys kind of make fun of him and kind of attack him. Well, he pulls out a gun, and he kills him. And it just, he goes from basically one killing to another, and it, his parents, Bruce Wayne and his wife, whether it was he was adopted or whether he was actually Bruce Wayne's son, and he kind of follows Bruce Wayne, and he ends up killing Bruce and or his mom and dad, and of course Batman is the son, and he sees the Joker killing his mom and dad, so that's kind of why Batman became good, and he goes after the Joker.
Now, just knowing what we know, I would say the Joker in the Batman series is probably the arch villain. Now, there were a lot of, like the Penguin and the Catwoman, yeah. But when I think of the people who have played the Joker over the years in high-profile movies, and even back to the kind of campy 60s Adam West.
Cesar Romero. Oh, yeah.
Who was a great actor.
Uh-huh.
And played that role very well.
He did.
But we've also had, now we have Joaquin Phoenix, but we had Jack Nicholson.
And I thought Jack Nicholson was terrific in that movie, too.
So that's, who's the best Joker? You've seen them all. Who has played that role the best?
I thought Jack Nicholson.
You thought he
just, I just thought he was so over the top. And even that was kind of campy a little bit, but this was just, it was serious the whole way through the movie.
See, my favorite, I think, would be Cesar Romero, because it was, I think, the closest to the comic book. I mean, he just looked comic book,
mm-hmm.
But he played that character so, I guess you would call it probably flamboyantly.
Yeah.
He was just big and bigger than life. And in the 60s, they didn't make dark things like that.
Oh, no.
So I just found Cesar Romero fascinating as the Joker in that series.
So, and you know, looking back, I mean, there wasn't anybody in that show back in the 60s that I really didn't care for, that I can think of.
Well, do you remember the villains? I mean, you had Cesar Romero, who was a classically trained actor. The Penguin was Burgess Meredith, mm-hmm. who was a big actor. Catwoman, for the most part, was Julie Newmar.
You certainly remember Julie Newmar.
You know, the first thing that comes to mind about Julie Newmar...
Eartha Kitt played Eartha Kitt as well.
And so did Lee Merriweather.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, I got the chance to interview Julie Newmar. And as far as I know, I think Julie's still alive. But when I interviewed her, she did the purr on the air. And that's, you know, we all can purr, I guess, if we tried like cats. But she really had that down. But did Julie Newmar ever do anything else?
There was a movie, and remember the movie was called, it was, I think, Tu Wong Fu, Julie Newmar, or something like that.
Was she in that movie?
I don't even know if she was in that movie.
Yeah, I didn't even know what that meant.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. We'll have to check on that one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she certainly was not, you know, a star performer, certainly.
Was the Catwoman her signature piece?
Oh, I think
piece?
So. Yeah, I think so.
But the others, well, I think Adam West, Batman, that probably became his signature piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this movie, though, focuses more on the Joker than Batman.
Yes, definitely.
Right. Now, do they get into the period of where Batman is apparently battling the Joker in the life of crime?
No, they kind of leave it as the son, who's probably 12 or 13 in the movie, and that's kind of where the movie, you know, ends up.
Other than that, what have you been up to?
We went to Cancun a few weeks ago.
Oh, I saw the pictures.
Okay.
Facebook.
We'll look for some more because we're going to Paris on Monday.
Oh, great.
And we'll be there for a few days. So just doing some trip, playing some golf, and just enjoying life.
Now that retirement has been there for about 4 months, what's it like for all the retirees?
For me, and of course, I realize that I'm different because I can travel with my son. We can go anywhere. and we can travel for free. Not very many people have that opportunity. So for me, it's just been terrific.
But do you miss doing this?
No.
Not at all.
Well, I shouldn't say. I don't miss getting up at 4:30 in the morning.
Right.
I do miss talking to people. I was at a meeting yesterday, and Kerr Murray was at the meeting, and we sat next to each other, and Kerr kind of asked me the same thing. I said, you know, I miss talking to the Steve Badichers and the Tim Granleys and the Bev Fords and people like that that would call in, you know, on a weekly basis. And I miss, you know, talking to the people at the schools and that kind of thing. So I do miss that.
Well, interestingly enough, I was thinking about this last night because Charlie did it for years. He just took phone calls from whoever wanted to call in. And we've gotten back into that here in the last couple months, just taking phone calls on whatever the topic is that morning. And it's went over well. You never did that. Why did
Never. I don't know. I guess I wasn't that comfortable taking calls from not knowing what people were going to call. Plus, we were kind of on a tight structure. I mean, we had so many call-ins, and we had, you know, you had to hit the news at a certain time. You had to hit the weather at a certain time. We had breaks at the bottom. You do, too, as well. But just never really, you know, got into that for whatever reason.
Now, being in the sports niche for so long, do you still keep up heavy on local and national sports?
Not as much as I do. I went to bed last night. The Yankees were playing Houston. I went to bed in the fifth inning last night. And I still don't even know who won the playoff game last night. Before, you know, you'd go in, of course, you had the wire, and you'd have all the news in front of you, and you'd have all the sports scores and so forth. And, you know, now I'll go 2 or 3 days and not even know who won a ball game, and it doesn't bother me.
Well, we had talked when you were in here at one point talking about your career, how you just kind of fell into the sports job. Was it just a job for all those years, and now that it's not the job anymore, it's not important to keep up on that stuff?
Sports was almost a hobby or whatever. I mean, obviously I enjoyed doing the sports, and I still enjoy doing the football and basketball games and so forth, but it's not a matter of life and death, I guess, if I miss, you know, if the Cavaliers won last night or not.
But it used to be.
It kind of used to be.
You wanted to know.
Yeah, because I'd always have to, you know, report on it in the morning.
You know, I don't. Sports has kind of gone by the wayside a little bit in town now because I can't think of anybody. Does anybody do a sports report on any station anywhere?
Probably not.
Somebody asked me again the other day, who is the guy who took your spot over there? What is that syndicated show called that's playing right now, even as we speak? What is that guy?
I don't know.
Well, I get asked that a lot, and I can't ever remember, because it's not like, I mean, I know Glenn Beck comes on at 9 o'clock now.
And Glenn Beck was a name. He was a commodity, and we knew Glenn Beck.
Yes.
But, you know, I never heard of this guy until that Monday morning.
Do we even know where he broadcasts out of?
I don't know where he broadcasts out of. I really don't.
He's not in Ohio, though, I don't think.
No, think so.
Because I never, you know, on FM stations for years, there were, I know Bobby Bones actually has become very popular. I know people who listen to that show. But it's kind of a drop-in show in the middle of a lot of country music. I don't know how you do a talk show with the format that you have. Is the format even the same? Do they break at the top and the bottom of the hour still?
I think there's still news at the top and the bottom.
But I got to listen to this thing one morning. I'm going to have to tune it on while I'm here because I don't know this man's name. And people do, as they say, well, what's that show that's on there? I don't think I've ever heard it.
I don't know his name. I really don't.
Well, I thought if anybody would, you would. I do want to let people know that the phone lines are open. We do leave them open here. We've taken calls all week, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944, toll-free line. The topic this week is actually, we've done this for about 3 days now, is right up your alley. Strange things that people eat that would not be, per se, in a Betty Crocker cookbook. Now, here are some of the things we've had this week. We've had a scoop of peanut butter with syrup on it. We've had bacon, grease, and sugar for breakfast. We've had...
bacon, grease, and sugar.
That came yesterday. Okay. Somebody's uncle, yeah, had bacon, grease, and sugar for breakfast. We've had sweet pickles and peanut butter sandwiches. We have had ketchup sandwiches, mayonnaise sandwiches, mustard sandwiches, lettuce and salt and pepper and peanut butter sandwiches. Do any of these things sound normal to you?
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily, but my go-to that I enjoy, nobody would do what I do.
Well, here we go.
Okay. Can of black olives, maybe a couple cans of black olives. Put them like in a bowl, two or three bananas, and then put ice cream and Ready Whip.
Now, about 90% of that sounds normal, but black olives mm-hmm. are what would throw you.
Yep.
Now, how did that start?
I don't know. I love black olives. And if I go to, like, you know, if I'm somewhere and they have black olive, you know, celery and cauliflower and that sort of thing, I love black olives.
So black olives on ice cream.
Black olives, I always put the black olives on the bottom, and then I'll slice up a couple of bananas, and then put some ice cream on top of the black olives and the bananas, and then whipped cream.
It sounds kind of like a banana split.
Almost, yeah, with the black olives.
So how did that start? How did you decide this concoction would work?
I don't really know how it did. I sometimes I'll open a can of black olives and I'll eat a can of black olives or most of a can of black olives, and I must have had some black olives and ate a banana afterward and said, well, I wonder how that would work out.
And now it's evolved to be an item in the banana split.
Kind of. Yeah.
That is different. But do you think that's just a taste bud thing for most people?
Maybe.
It tastes good to me, so yeah. I might as well keep on doing it.
Yeah.
I keep trying to think of something that I eat that's out of the ordinary, and I don't think there is anything except the cottage cheese thing that I do.
See, and I don't like cottage cheese at all.
Well, but see, this is not really cottage cheese related because there are so many people on diets, and there are so many diabetics now, and this is good for them. And it's really easy to make. All you do is you get a tub of cottage cheese, you get a tub of Cool Whip, and you get a whatever flavor sugar-free Jell-O you want. Just get a package of that. And you take that home. You empty all of the contents of the whipped cream into a bigger bowl, all of the contents of the cottage cheese into the bigger bowl, and then you take the Jell-O. But don't make the Jell-O, just the powder that's in the sugar-free Jell-O packet. Dump all that into the bowl, stir it all up until the Jell-O is dissolved and the cottage cheese has congealed with the whipped cream, and then put it in the refrigerator, not long, like 20 minutes will cool that off, and then eat it. And it's not bad.
Okay.
And there is no sugar in that and no carbohydrate, and it tastes pretty good.
Yeah, that's one thing I've never obviously had to worry about is watching my sugar or watching my carbohydrates. Again, that's another thing I've been very fortunate with. That.
Well, because you're famous for liking food. This became a thing over the years.
And now it's gotten to the point where when we go somewhere, I'll just post a picture of, you know, what I'm eating or something, just more or less as a lark. But, yeah, I'm known for... Brian says I'm cheap. I prefer the term careful with my money. But I know where they a lot of times have free meals or have lunches or dinners and so forth, and I just tend to end up at a lot of those.
Now, is it a frugality with you?
No. No.
No?
It's just...
You like the free food?
Yeah. Somebody will invite me out to a meeting or something, and chances are they'll have food there. I'll take advantage of it.
You know, people used to go, and I'm sure you remember this, and maybe they still do, over to the White Lily in Ashley.
Been there.
Oh, you've been?
A few times. It's been a long time since I've been there.
Well, what? I've never been, but I've heard about it for so many years. Is it still open?
as far as I know.
What is the appeal of the White Lily? What is it about that meat? Because it's not the church. I don't even think 90% of the people go to the church who go to this thing.
It's very inexpensive, for one thing. It's homemade.
Oh, okay.
Homemade. They'll do chicken and noodles or ham loaf or, you know, those kind of meals. But they're known for their pies. And a lot of times they'll run out of pies. But, you can go and get like a meal, I don't know, like $3, $3.50, something like that. And it's just, a lot of people go to that, and it's kind of the fellowship. They start early in the afternoon, and I think they have it on, I think Wednesdays is the day they have it. But they have it, it's like 3 to 5 or, you know, 4 to 5:30, something like that. It's you know, not anything that lasts a long time, because basically they'll run out of food eventually. But just, it's a nice, you know, it's a kind of a church dinner, and you meet a lot of nice people. It's very relaxed.
Let's go to the phones, as Larry King used to say. Hey, you're on WWGH Radio. Go ahead.
You get a meal for $5.
Oh, it's $5.
It's okay. Usually like ham loaf, mashed potatoes, a vegetable, and they give you a little cup of like coleslaw or bean salad or something like that, and then you have your pie or cake afterwards for $5.
I couldn't remember. Do you have to pay for the pie, or is the pie included?
No, it's all included.
Okay, I couldn't remember if the pie was included or not.
You can buy pies or cakes. You usually have to order those in advance.
Okay.
If you don't, you don't get them.
Now, what day of the week? What day of the week and time is
Wednesday.
This? Is it Wednesday?
It's like 4 to 7:30, something like that.
Okay.
4 to 7:30, and that's $5 a pop.
Yep.
And it's every Wednesday. Now, where I know it's in Ashley, but where is the White Lily Church located over there?
go straight in on 229, and you turn at the square, turn to the right of the square, and the church sits right there.
Oh, right there. Now, is it well labeled?
On Ham Loaf Day, you want to get there early because they fill up.
Now, what is ham? When is Ham Loaf Day?
It's usually once a month. This month, it's twice a month. I think they got ham loaf on the 30th, and either chicken noodles or beef and noodles this Wednesday. But it's good. It's a lot of food.
Do they send out a menu? How do you know when ham loaf's going to be on the menu?
I think there's a website on it.
Oh, there's a website out there.
Yeah.
Now, the White Lily Church, now I know how people refer to it, and I'm not going to refer to it as that type of church, but what denomination actually is it? Oh, you see, you know too how they refer to it. What is that denomination? What is the denomination over there?
I have no idea.
They just have good food.
Just a group of church ladies gets together, they volunteer their time and cook the food, and people come and have a good time.
All right, so that's every Wednesday from 4 to 7:30 over. Now, that's Ashley, Ohio. Takes you about how long to get over there?
15 minutes.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
$5.
Go straight down 229 or get down 746 to 42. That's easy to get there.
Well, sounds good. I'm going to have to take a trip over there.
Well, yeah. It's worth your while.
Do they have blueberry pie?
Let's see. Last couple of times they've had, and I've been there, they've had a peach strudel, a lemon pie, peanut butter. They get really good pies.
Somebody was talking about that this week. I've never had peanut butter pie. Have you had peanut butter pie,
and
Jeff?
They have cake too.
Okay.
They have cake on the menu also.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure they've got a website you can go on and it'll tell, you know, what the meal is and the desserts.
Oh, perfect.
It's worth it.
Well, I appreciate the information. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later, buddy.
And if anybody else would like to weigh in, phone lines are open. They're always open here. 740-383-9944. This is your station, and the airwaves are free to the public. 740-383-9944. See, without even asking, Jeff, we got the whole spiel there on the White Lily Church. Do you know what denomination it is?
I guess I don't.
Do you know how people refer to it?
I don't.
Well, it's not bad. I guess I can say it. It's, you know, they call it the Psychic Church. Because
I
think
I have not heard that before.
Well, at one point I had talked to the Reverend Clevenger. Now I don't even know if he's still over there. He was an older gentleman when I interviewed him, and that's probably been close to 10 years ago. But he was psychic. I mean, he could, you know, see into the future. Is Reverend Clevenger still over there? That's an interesting question. If anybody knows that, let me know. 740-383-9944. But they called it the Psychic Church, and I don't think that's a denomination. I don't think you can put that on your form when you send it in. So I don't know what the denomination is over there. I've always just heard that it's the food.
I have not heard that before.
You haven't heard the Psychic Church?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. That's what I thought they were. Are there any churches in Marion that do that same type of thing to that degree? I know we have free meals, but is it...
I don't think on a weekly basis, nothing that I'm aware of.
Don't you find it interesting that this little town of Ashley would... What else is in Ashley? What else do people talk about?
Well, the train... There's a train track that goes right through the middle of town.
Well, that's exciting.
I think there's an antique shop.
Didn't there used to be a gas station over there?
Probably.
You better gas up before you leave Marion.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing between here and there. You're going to get in trouble. Thanksgiving's around the corner. The Dayspring Church does the free Thanksgiving meal or donation. Is it a donation they usually do?
It's for donation.
Yeah. And which is the other one who's been doing it for even longer?
It's Emmanuel Lutheran.
Emmanuel Lutheran.
Mm-hmm.
And do they still do it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So people, I'm sure we'll start hearing a lot about that as we head into the holiday season. Saw a post last night, 69 days till Christmas. You ready?
Christmas, I don't spend much for Christmas. Maybe it goes back because I'm cheap.
But the frugality.
We don't have a lot in our family. I mean, my dad passed away earlier this year. So, you know, I got my mom and my sister and I, you know, we might get each other something a little, but we've never really gotten. Now, the grandparents will get stuff for the grandkids and that kind of thing, but I don't get anything for the grandkids or anything like that. And, you know, I'll get my sister something, I'll get my mother something, get Brian something, that's about it.
Now, do you have a big celebration?
We would always go over Christmas Eve, we'd always have a nice get-together at the house, and we'd always end up at my parents, whether we were in Cincinnati or in Mansfield, but we'd have, everybody kind of came to our house on Christmas Eve. And we'd have a nice dinner on Christmas Eve, and then we'd go to 11 o'clock service. And usually on Christmas Eve, we'd open up one gift. It was usually kind of the big gift or one of the gifts. And then, you know, we'd get up Christmas morning, we'd have kind of a light breakfast, and then we'd all get under the tree and open our presents. So, yeah, Christmas was always a fun day.
The last time you were in here was about a month ago. We did Charlie's 85th birthday, and a lot of people who called in that day were people you had worked with. How do you think that went, and did you enjoy hearing from those people?
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
You know, when John Steele called in, we moved into John's house. John lived right across the street from Roger Fisher, who used to be a sports guy at MRN. And John ended up moving to Dayton, and that was about the time that Brian was born, and we needed a bigger place, so we moved into where John was, and we're still, you know, in the same place. Mm. So, yeah, I enjoyed hearing from John. Now, Gil Gomez, I never really, you know, knew Gil. The person with the National Weather Service in Boston that called in didn't know him. Ken Charles, I knew the name, but never knew Ken. And then Steve Stewart. Worked with Steve.
And we heard the story about you and Steve.
Steve remembers it more fondly than I do.
Well, that's interesting because before the program went on that day, we were talking out in the lobby about how I said, well, yeah, Steve is going to call in today. And you felt there was a little...
Tension
there because of your time with Steve Stewart. But once he got on the air, you guys were like best buddies.
I started on a Monday. I started working evenings, and he had a show on Tuesday night. I couldn't remember the name of it, but he said it was Insight.
Insight,
and
that's
I,
right.
And I thought of the person's name after I left. Maxie Anderson or Max Anderson, something like that. He was a balloon, hot air balloon person who I think he was one of those that went around the world. And if you Google him, in fact, maybe during the news you can Google him. But I think he was in Albuquerque. But he was calling in, and Steve had this whole 45-minute show that he was going to do. He was kind of the predecessor of like a Steve Fawcett or something like that. And I couldn't get him on the air. And he kept calling. And Steve, is he on the air now? Try again. And I thought he was going to come through the window. And I thought my career there was going to last 2 days. I don't know that I ever did get him on the air because it was a complicated phone system. And even Steve admitted it was complicated. And like a lot of things, you know, somebody will start out a new job and you're there for a day and then they expect you to know everything. It didn't work.
Maxie Anderson, he died in 83, so right after.
Well, this would have been 79.
79, so he was probably so traumatized by not being able to get on.
Was he killed in a hot air balloon?
Well, let's see. He was born in 34, so that would have... Okay, here's his death. We have his death here. Anderson was killed on June 27th, 1983, near... West Germany. He was in the air with co-pilot Don Ida, having no wish to stay across the border into East Germany or Czechoslovakia. He attempted to release the gondola from the envelope at touchdown. The bolts failed to fire, and a gust re-lofted the vehicle, whereupon the explosive bowls deployed. And both Anderson and Ida were killed in the fall. The locale of the accident is also given as near the village of a German town in the county of Bad Kissingen? It could be. In the history of the Gordon Bennett Cup balloon race, in which they were participating as non-competitors at the time.
Okay.
What a horrible way to go.
Yeah. So this would have been 79 and after I left I was trying to who was that guy, and I remember it was a balloonist. So yeah, Maxie Anderson was his name. So yeah, that was 79. He died in 83.
Now did he get rebooked after that? He couldn't get on that week?
I don't know if he did or not.
You know, in doing these shows on history in the morning, where are all? Because the Marion Star did a story this week on 12 people.
The 12 under the age of 40.
Mm-hmm. And that's good, and I think that's nice to recognize people like that. But where are the eccentric people? You know, Charlie talks a lot about the sisters. Did you ever hear him talk about these people? Reichert. The Reichert sisters, who were kind of a really eclectic group of, used to wrap their legs in newspaper. And, you know, you talked about the guy from the jewelry store who was a little eccentric. Where are those? Did eccentric go out of style?
You got to be careful. You know, eccentric, you know, now you might say, you know, they're nuts or something like that. And probably... I'm not sure how to really word this. It seems like there's so many service agencies now that, you know, if somebody saw somebody that, you know, wrapped their legs in newspaper or whatever, they'd say, well, you know, these folks need help, and, you know, they'd get them, some social service agency would help them, something like that. That's a good question. I don't really know.
Because a lot of these people stood out to people in the 60s, 70s, 80s, because they were eccentric.
Mm-hmm.
Like we had Catwoman in town. Now, Catwoman used to listen to us.
Sure.
And I have no idea what happened to her. I haven't heard from her in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. She used to listen to me as well.
Yeah. And she had like 700 cats in her house, but she fed them. So where are those people? Did all the eccentric go out? You can't be eccentric anymore. They'll medicate you now if you're eccentric.
Yeah. Almost to that extent.
Because there were a lot of characters like that in Marian history. People would go into restaurants and talk about the eccentric owner of that restaurant. I don't know what happened there.
Well, we mentioned Bob George, and Bob passed away not too long ago. Bob worked overnight. Bob was eccentric. We played the saw with Charlie in the morning, and he'd call the White House, 3 o'clock in the morning, went to talk to the president, and he would get kind of like an Earl Pitts almost, where he would do different voices and so forth. Bob was eccentric. I mean, I love Bob. He was a fun person to be around, but he was eccentric.
Well, the gentleman who you and Charlie talked about a few weeks ago, who was the station manager for a long time, I think you'd have to qualify him as probably an eccentric. He's working at a Wendy's now somewhere.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he was eccentric. He was just a nut job.
Was that eccentric?
Yeah.
I think that's... Oh, well, he was a little left of center.
I don't know if I'd say he was eccentric. He was just, it was something about him. He was just, he wasn't a warm and fuzzy type.
I'll say this in the nicest way, because a lot of people have said it, because this is not a negative thing, but a lot of people thought Brown was eccentric.
Doc, are you talking about Doc Brown? Not,
well, I think he was too, but,
Warren Brown? Or?
Not Warren Brown. The last one. He's got the big tombstone in the Marian Cemetery when you first go in off Delaware Avenue. Who am I talking about? Charlie knows him.
From Wyandotte?
Yeah, he was part of the
George?
George Brown. That might be. Is he the one who had all the popcorn machines? Donated him to the Historical Society.
So somebody will have to call in and help. Yeah, I think he was, but I'm not positive.
Are we talking about George Brown here? 740-383-9944. But I know a lot of people felt he was rather eccentric.
Yeah, I didn't know him.
I think he was around up until like the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the most eccentric character you came in contact with in Marian?
I have to think about that one.
It would have to be one of those jewelers, I would think. That's eccentric.
Yeah. I'd have to think about that one.
When you first came to Marian from a much bigger town, what was your impression?
I was going to be here a year or two and move on.
Did you like the area when you first came?
I lived in Mansfield for a while, and Marion and Mansfield, similar size, but I really like Cincinnati. I like the bigger city, and that was tough, but I came here because it was a good opportunity, I thought, to kind of advance my career. It wasn't anything I disliked about Marion. It was close enough to Columbus that if I wanted to take somebody out to dinner or something like that, we'd go to Columbus or something like that. And then just, after a while, I met a lot of nice people, and it's sort of like you wake up some morning and you're married and you have a kid, and it's like, well, I guess I'm, destined for Marian.
You're here. 51 and a half minutes past the hour here. Jeff Ruth is the guest.
Did I tell the story about the time I had gone down to Huntington, West Virginia for a job interview, and a guy called me at like midnight?
No, I didn't hear about this.
I had been here maybe, I think Brian was maybe two or three. So this was, this was a long time ago. But we had a guy, Rick Bryan was his name. And Rick was our production director and program director. And Rick ended up, he got a pretty good job down in Huntington, West Virginia, which is where Marshall University is located. And it's a much, bigger market. And Rick invited me. He said, we got a job opportunity down here. I think you'd be interested in it. And I said, okay. So I remember going down on a Saturday morning, and it was a nice station. And Huntington was, it was a much bigger area. Kind of walked around the university, and it's like, yeah, you know, this isn't a bad, you know, this isn't a bad city. And again, I had been here, you know, a few years. This would be a good chance to, you know, I thought probably go on. And, you know, we didn't even talk about money, but it was a nice station and so forth. That was on a Saturday. Monday night, about 11:30, I was sound asleep, got a call from somebody and says, is this, you know, Jeffrey? And I said, yes. Are you the one that came down to the radio station on Saturday? And I said, yeah. He said, you don't want the job. He said, that's all I can say is you don't want the job. And he hung up. And it's like, you know, then you kind of are startled, and it's like, who was this guy? Why did he call me? My first thought was maybe I would be taking his job.
Right, that's what I would guess.
So that was my first thought, and it's like, well, maybe he knows something about the station, and he really doesn't want me to come down because it's not all that it appears. So we have ended up, and I didn't go down a second time, but, you know, we talked a couple times on the phone, and the money wasn't, you know, for moving, it wasn't, you know, that much of a difference. So it's like, I'll still get another opportunity another year or so down the road. So, you know, I thankfully, you know, declined the job, and within a month, the station went bankrupt.
Oh, so it was a true tip-off.
So it was a true tip-off, yeah. And the station ended up, I don't know if they closed or if it was sold, but they went bankrupt. The person that would have hired me, he was out of a job. So I have no idea who this person was, how he got my phone number. I don't know any of that.
But there was...
The world, you know, it's one of those mysteries I'll never know.
But there was some connection to the program director, you said? This Brian guy?
Yeah, Rick Bryan. He used to work afternoons.
Right.
At WMRN.
So he went there.
And he went there.
And he never helped you on this? He didn't say the station's in near bankruptcy?
No.
Well, what a friend he was.
And maybe he didn't know or wasn't willing to admit that they were... you know, headed down a dark path. So I have no idea who this person was, how he got my phone number. But, yeah, you know, you don't want to, you know, sell your house, you know, leave a good job, go down someplace, be there 2 or 3 weeks, and then you'd be out of a job in a city that, you know, you didn't know. So I don't know where that came from. But, yeah, that was one of those things that you think back and say, well, somebody was watching out for me, I guess.
Now, when you went down there, did you get the impression that things were bad?
No. But I went there. It was on a Saturday, as I said. I got there at noon or whatever, and there was only like one person in the station.
Probably that way all week long. One person there.
So
daylight to dark.
Yeah, and Rick met me, and he kind of, you know, gave me a tour of the station. It wasn't a bad station. I mean, it was the station I think had probably been there for a while, but obviously we're in some financial difficulties.
So did you ever coalesce? Obviously they knew.
Ooh, our word of the day is coalesce.
Wasn't that good? We'll write that one down. Coalesce. Why they were trying to hire people if clearly they knew they were close to bankruptcy?
Unless they thought that the bankruptcy wasn't going to be for 3 months or 6 months, and if they hired a couple of good people, maybe they could, you know, get it turned around.
That's interesting. Something I did want to ask you about before I forget, when we had John Steele on during Charlie's birthday party, John had said most fun in his radio career was with Steve and Charlie in the late 70s, early 80s, but John did say he came back and Charlie was at WDIF by that point, the old WDIF.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when John came back? Because you would have been there.
I don't.
He must have been in and out.
He probably came. Well, he probably had to come back for the closing of the house, because we ended up buying the house. So he probably had to come back, because this would have been, because we moved into the house in 83 or 84. So he probably had to come back for the closing of the house.
You know, I was just thinking from people, names from the past. The other day I ran into George Yoakum. And George is the one, I don't think we've ever said the name here, that set you up with the morning show and Tradio, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So George, who is still around here in Marion, what do you think George's Knack was, because obviously that was a format that lasted nearly 40 years.
Well, George came from WBNS down in Columbus, as I recall, and he also worked in Akron. And he was a very successful programmer. He knew what worked, and he had a lot of knowledge about radio, much more so than the person that kind of took over after George.
You remember who took over?
I do.
Are they still around?
Yes.
Oh, they are?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, we won't mention
any. We won't mention their names.
We won't mention any names.
No.
But George was a very good programmer.
Was it the guy who went to Wendy's?
No.
Okay.
No. I know Charlie isn't a big fan of George's.
Well, but there's a reason. Charlie has told the reason. You know, George was managing the station when Charlie was departing to go to DIF, and there was a thing there with the weather instruments at MRN, where I don't think it was a big blow-up, but George didn't want him to take it. Charlie wanted to take it, and I think that's where that comes from. Charlie will talk about it later this morning. But, you know, those moments happen, I guess.
Yeah,
you know,
George, after he left WMRN, went to Mansfield and then was the program director or the general manager at WMAN and a couple stations over at Mansfield. He was very good. I mean, he was a very good radio programmer, and he knew AM radio. And I was working evenings, and I guess he heard me doing evenings at times and evidently thought, well, he'd fit okay in the morning. So that's when he kind of created Tradio, and, you know, we kind of the morning magazine, helping out with Marianne and so forth.
Well, it's interesting because when I ran into George the first time, which has been a long time ago now, probably over 10 years, I was at MRN. He was no longer there, I think just living in Marianne with his wife. And he's always been very positive to me. We never have worked together, but he's always very nice, always very complimentary, and a very nice man.
He worked with Steve Boom Boom Cannon.
He did.
For a long time. But he was just, he was a good radio programmer.
He really was, and I think it's a shame that the vestiges of what he created in the early 80s are no longer there, but there's nothing left of Bob Mason either, so what can you do? Do you think anybody knows in Marion, if you would say the name Bob Mason, does anybody have an idea who that is?
Yeah, all the older people still do.
Because this man, from what I understand, and Charlie is one of the, I think, last who really knew him well. You know, this is the creator of broadcast in Marion, the broadcast medium. And he had chauffeurs, or at least he had people driving him around town. And he made a lot of money here in broadcasting.
Not at first, though.
No.
And you know, we told a story about, you know, or maybe his daughter told a story about, you know, there were a couple pay periods he actually had to sell furniture out of his house.
And was living with his mother when the station started.
To meet payroll.
That's interesting. It's coming up on 9 o'clock here. We've got a whole day of programming on WWGH Radio. We've got, I said W. That's one of the things, I can never get away from that, because WW just does not sound right to me. There we go. Charlie Evers today, 10:10 to 12 noon, the Exchange Club from 12:15 to 1, and we've got a whole nother hour with Jeff Roop here on WWGH Radio. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Rest of the day, a good night tonight and a better day tomorrow. Above all, have happy trails.
It's the place to be for your friends and your family. This is WWGH 107.1 FM.
One of our